You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. I will be your guest co-host here today, Matt Parrott. I am also here with Jason Augustus. Welcome to the show, Jason. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Parrott?
Very well. Very well. I miss you. I've been out and traveling around, and I miss the entire gang, but you in particular.
Miss you, too.
You've been holding everything together very well over there. But we've had a pretty busy week here on the internet and with nationalism. I'd like to ask you later on in the show about your recent video about where you kind of challenged Varg on some things. I'd like to pick your brain about that. But let's you want to cover some current events first?
Sure.
Okay. First, we got the FBI has confirmed that it's investigating the Trump-Russia connection. So that fake news about Trump being a Manchurian candidate of Putin is now the intelligence community continues to try to beat that drum, despite, you know, it's been several months. You'd think there'd be some evidence by now, right?
No, I don't think they run on that anymore, do they?
I guess evidence really is beside the point. It's all just rumor. I kind of feel bad. I feel like I'm the only guy without a confidential CIA source. Everybody else. How secretive is the secret organization when everything you would want to know either gets leaked on the back end or leaked to the press on the front end? You know, why are we trusting these people to tell us what's going on anyway?
But it's a freaking it's I mean, Trump pointed it out pretty well in his you know, when he was running, that they're kind of incompetent. They're nothing all that special. They make them look so cool in the TV shows and the movies where they're like busting in people's doors and like, you know, no, that's the reality is they're just a bunch of sad dudes you know, playing with their peckers, trying to figure stuff out on a imitation laptop.
Well, I guess it's kind of good that they're incompetent, because they're trying to push the Jewish agenda. They're trying to spy with their on everybody and everything, with even the televisions you buy and even the car you drive. I've written about that, how they have all this technology at their fingertips, but they're not nearly smart enough to be able to manage it. Right? They don't have, you know. Just giving an idiot more tools doesn't make him build a better birdhouse. He's just going to hurt himself, you know.
No, I can attest to all of that. Back in my former days of pirating, I do this no more because there is no more pirating. But I had so many great audio tools, all the greatest things in the world, but I had absolutely no working knowledge of how to mess with them. So there's all these great engineers producing the greatest things in the world, and I'm like, why does everything I make sound like crap? Oh, and it's because I don't know how to use any of these tools.
Well, now you got the tools figured out, unlike our intelligence community. And here's another one. This leads into the next, the Project Dragnet that InfoWars has leaked. And unlike the alien conspiracy stuff, this actually has some good sourcing. InfoWars is very touch and go on that. You'll have everything from an authentic, you know, breaking story to the dumbest, most ice cream headache inducing stuff I can imagine. But this the NSA documents, you remember. Trump made that tweet about how Obama had been actively spying on him. And, you know, mm-hmm. The mainstream media all laughed at him. The intelligence community all laughed at him. You know, they did this thing where everybody laughs at Trump because, you know, how stupid can you be? And every single time, well, it turns out Trump was right. There has been an extensive both private, public, and of course in that shadowy realm between public and private, espionage on Trump and Trump's assets and businesses, despite him being domestic and the CIA and NSA having no jurisdiction over him, they've actually been doing it. And, you know, Alex Jones has got the documents now.
He's always got the documents.
Well, sometimes he does have the documents. The FEMA camps, not so much. It would really be nice now if we had all those rail cars and everything for all the illegals we'll be rounding up here shortly. But I'm afraid our government's not nearly competent enough for a lot of Alex's fantasies. But you know, once again, Trump has proven right. The intelligence community are an absolute bag of morons. And I mean, at some point, it's got to be radically transformed, because you can't have a country where the intelligence community is actively, openly, and explicitly trying to take down the elected president. That's some banana republic nonsense right there. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
It's the reason that the FBI is incompetent, the reason the CIA is incompetent, and this all trickles back to the Jews and their agenda to basically stupefy everything. It's like when Trotsky wanted all the most intelligent Europeans exterminated. It's kind of like what they're doing with our universities. You know, even in the FBI and CIA, they have all these diversity quotas. They have all these things where they have to lower the standardized tests for certain people and certain groups to get in that don't do as well on certain things as other groups. And then it just becomes this mishmash of it becomes just a complete idiocracy. And that's my take on it.
Yeah, and I just wonder how much the Jews are hysterical and how much they have a plan, because you know I know they're gifted people and they're scheming people, but I mean you understand Jews better than I do. Do you think to some extent they could actually just be like hysterical and fumbling and making missteps here due to just rage and panic about the worldwide populist revolt taking place? I mean, what's your take on that?
I can't really answer any JQs, without the invariable religious element coming in. But they are the children of Tartarus. They are here only to be the antithesis of the will of the gods and of natural law. Their only purpose and function here is to serve the order of those of destruction. So what they are doing, I mean, they're doing their job fantastically as far as I can see from here. But if you're looking for some sort of political thing, if it's for financial gain, if it's for political power, I have no idea. They're just evil.
Well, I don't disagree that they're evil. I'm just wondering if they're panicking or whether they're playing some kind of 4D chess on a level we're not catching yet.
I don't think they're trying to get anything over on us intellectually. I don't think that they're trying to accomplish any particular goal other than utter destruction.
Well, big picture, I guess I agree with you there. What's got me worried is I've been thinking about how like Matt Drudge, who's a gay Jew, but he's conservative, right? Back in the early 2000s, he was instrumental in like promoting white populism. And Drudge Report would have these headlines like, you know, a band of black youths attacked a white kid on a school bus and stuff like that while the rest of the media was covering up. And then he mentored Breitbart. And then you see Breitbart coming along. And then in a lot of ways, Trump is an epiphenomenon of the Breitbart clique. And I'm just wondering, with so many Jews behind it, what our risk of being redirected towards like sort of an anti-Islam war of civilizations thing that's going to actually move us further from a white homeland. But I mean, you can utterly paralyze yourself with those what ifs. I guess you just got to keep it simple and look on the day to day what's actually best for our people in the near term, and you know, try to do your best. I don't know.
Yes, I assign that. don't try to read too much into the inner workings of the Jew, or try to look too deep into the future, because you will more than likely be wrong. It's like, you know, majority of people stick the USB in the port the wrong way most of the time. So let's just not do that.
Well, I have this damn thing where it always works on the third try, which defies all laws of physics. Like, I try it, it doesn't work. I flip it, it doesn't work. I flip it again, it goes right in.
Yeah.
Why didn't it go in the first time? I don't know. I have, like, three-sided Alex Jones dimension reversing USB devices here, I guess. But I've never figured that out. It always takes me exactly three times. This one's a good one for you. A New York City bar has denied a man service over his wearing his Make America Great Again hat in New York City. He's actually trying to sue the bar.
Good luck with that one, MAGA guy. You're in the... You're a little lost.
Would you have the courage to walk around New York City in a MAGA hat?
I didn't have the courage to walk around in New York City, frickin' period. I just stayed in my house.
I wonder if he put the MAGA hat on when once he entered the bar. But it really is amazing, the polarization. Like, you could be in the Midwest or something, and the idea that anybody would be for Hillary is preposterous, right? Like, everybody you talk to is like, Trump. And then you go to these other places. America is just so absolutely red or blue at this point. I'm old enough, and you are too, where you remember, like, there used to be, like, in families or in neighborhoods, it would be more blended, right? You would have Democrat friends and Republican friends. You would have conservative and liberal friends. But now it's become so tribal. Like, there are parts of America that are literally, like, no-go zone for a Republican who supports Trump now.
Yeah, what's his face? JonTron, very popular YouTube gamer, recently started talking about this, and he had never really touched on political issues before, but he was talking about this this complete just dissipation of all abstract thinking as far as politics go. It's all been relegated to more of a tribal sort of thing, where people aren't really viewing themselves as left or right or Democrat or Republican. They're really just going with their tribe, and it's not even so much of identity politics or everybody playing the Al Sharpton of their respective ethnicity, but more or less people are just concerned with their own communities more than they were, say, like 5 or 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that could be predicted. That's what diversity does to communities, right? Like, when it's a family argument, then it's about ideas. But if somebody in the argument is not in the family, then, you know, or if it's two different families arguing, it becomes like a family, you know, like a Hatfield McCoy thing. And pretty soon people don't have their ideas because they believe one way or believe the other. They have an idea because they're a Hatfield, and Hatfields have this idea, or they're a McCoy, and McCoys have this idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, which, I mean, I guess I support that, actually, because it's moving towards solving the problem, right? People awaken to their identity, realize that, you know, whether your neighbor voted for Ralph Nader or not back in 2004, if he belongs to your tribe and he's loyal to you, and you know, you two have each other's back against the third, you know, the rising tide of cholera and the Jewish problem, then he's your brother. And whatever little differences you might have had, you know, about, you know, pollution regulations or whatever, you guys are just going to have to overlook for a while.
Yeah, I mean, the trouble that I see with this is the same trouble that I've been seeing since I became politically aware. It's just a lot more obscene now, is that every ethnic group seems to have this tribal paradigm thing under wraps, and they kind of understand it very well and are doing a pretty decent job at coming together to defend and support their own interests. But as usual, the average white is just not having it, and they're for everybody, despite there only being like, what, like 200 million of us on the whole frickin' planet. We still call these people that make up a billion people on the planet minorities. We're just a twisted bunch. We're having some real difficulties coming together. But, you know, in the same sense, not to be too black-pilled on that, I have seen a whole lot more, you know, just white people that you wouldn't expect. Like I was mentioning before, JonTron just coming out saying, I'm white, I have white interests, and if you want to have an honest conversation about race, don't get offended when you hear my honest opinion about race. Like, if you're including me in this, I should be able, you know, they'll give like that shtick. So it's like, you know, everybody's taken like 50 steps forward, and us white people, we're just like one inch.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, I think white guys, especially raised in the old American culture, they want to be team players. And I get that. And you know, they're told that, you know, being a team player means setting aside your racial interests in, you know, pursuit of the American interests of, you know, or even the world interests. I think what we've seen is more and more white people, they're not stopping being team players so much as they're being like, wait, I'm not actually, these people aren't acting like teammates. This is not my team. You know, these people are out to get me. And, you know, there's a lot of dissonance with that, right? Like, what is my team? What is my identity? You know, who am I loyal to? What ideas am I loyal to? And you know, you're seeing them kind of work through that. You're seeing, like, JonTron and who's that other YouTube celebrity who...
PewDiePie?
Yeah, PewDiePie. they're not so much coming over completely to our side, but they are becoming agitated by the absurdities that they're supposed to just kowtow towards, you know, and they're fighting back and pushing back in these incoherent ways. And the great thing about it is they eventually land on our side, because if you keep misbehaving on their side, they'll actually pick you up and throw you onto our side. You know, I mean, PewDiePie was just trolling and making fun of these hysterical people. And now, you know, he's, even though he's not, he's one of us. He's a nationalist. He's a Nazi. He's a bad person. He's mean to the Jew. PewDiePie.
PewDiePie. If he wasn't woke on the Jew before, he definitely is now. I mean, he lost one of his biggest endorsements because he dared to question the all-powerful Jew. And, you know, he didn't get this far on such a silly way to get rich by being dumb. He wasn't able to maintain his fortune and maintain his popularity by being dumb. And you, like, the videos that you hear him watching in the background when he's making those jokes are actual Hitler speeches, where he's talking about the Jewish problem. He's talking about the Jewish issue. So PewDiePie knows exactly what the hell is going on.
Well, and that's what I'm really excited about, because for every one of these guys who actually spills over and admits it, you know, and actually, you know, spills their spaghetti for all of us, how many white guys around America and around the world are reading Culture of Critique right now, are woke but not quite sure how to manifest it or what to do about it, who are just sitting there kind of like, wait a minute, you know, this diversity multiculturalism is bullshit. How do I deal with that? And you know, I think most of us with our stories, we had a sort of wilderness period between like waking up and then speaking out. So how many people are in that wilderness period where they're awakened, but they're not speaking out just yet? Like, I guess, you know, the Trump's victory tells us it was more than we would have assumed, but not everybody supporting Trump, but this general direction, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, we're in a total transitionary period between you know, which direction our people are going to take on this one, because that really is the determining factor. You know, this civilization was built by our people, Western civilization, the European civilization, American civilization was built by our people, so its future is definitely within our hands. It's just, we're real slow to make a choice. We only got two gears. We got do absolutely nothing or do absolutely everything.
Don't make the white kids angry. You don't want the Saxon to begin to hate, right? Yeah, I'm very optimistic in the long term, and you know we've both been at this for a while, and we've seen a period where it looked like there was no hope, that the youth were just going to continue becoming more and more cucked each generation, and that's what we were actually looking at this time, you know, 5 years ago. That was the future that it looked like was coming, and now we have this exciting future where it looks like they're losing control of the narrative. It looks like, you know, they have access to the information and they're reading it. And these, you know, frustrated young men are saying, no, I'm not going to just accept that my role in history is to belong to the bad people who are going away to make room for the good people. You know, I'm the good people. I'm not ashamed of my skin color. And you know what? You know, you guys are the bad people. Yeah. It's inspiring watching that organic process kind of take place where these, I mean, some young, you know, white men will just go along with it. You know, that's the easiest thing to do, to not cause trouble with your teachers or parents or, you know, peers. But, you know, I think, and you identify with your own youth, there's that certain subset who aren't going to accept humiliation, who aren't going to, you know, accept a narrative of defeat like that. And watching them rise up right before our eyes here. I mean, you know, we can quibble about the alt-right's not enough this, the alt-right's not enough that. It's like, looking at this from the perspective of an old-school white nationalist, it's like, I'm just glad the alt-right is, period. You know, let's make the most of it, make the best of it, but thank God for it, you know?
Oh, yeah, the internet alt-right is a fantastic phenomenon. The whole Chan thing... you know, that's all been really great. I'm just wondering what the next step is, because I'm realizing, that all of the things that they kind of, cropped up with towards the end of 2016 are sort of dying down now. Like, you know, the whole Pepe phenomenon and all that, the Lord Keck kind of thing it's sort of dying down now. I'm very curious to see, what our alt-right internet comrades will come up with next.
Yeah, I think they're still active. I think they're still growing. I think we still have momentum. I mean, the thing is, with that election and the Trump victory, you had this clean narrative arc, right? It was captivating for the media, but now it's kind of more of a, okay, we've actually got to do work and earn it. You remember what it was like back in October of 2016. There was all this attention, the entire world was watching this alt-right phenomenon appear out of nowhere and be dramatically stronger than the old evangelical movement, be stronger in a lot of ways than the GOP establishment, just out of nowhere. And that shocked a lot of people, but now we've kind of got to perform. And I know what you're saying. It's kind of an awkward moment when, you know, you actually have to do work and incrementally build towards success. I think that's what we're trying to do with the Trad Worker Party, as what a lot of people are trying to do in the nationalist community. And, you know, but, you know, we're at the part that requires work now. We got to deliver. You know, we've got the attention, we've got the narrative, we've got the audience, and now we need to dance, you know. Let's yep. Fight for white families. Did I still have you over there? Can you still hear me, Jason?
Yeah, it's just, it's so weird. There's like this weird delay, kind of like when you see those the news reporters where they say something and then like it's like a minute delay where the person's just kind of staring off awkwardly with this weird smile and then they respond.
Yeah, well, I guess I am a little ways away, but
yeah, you're a bit of a distance.
One thing I wanted to mention. Let's try to get to the Vark thing real quick. But I did want to, since you mentioned 4chan, the 4chan message board is actually using the border cams to help report illegal immigrants now. Like this, the image board community has sort of crowdsourced the job of border patrol now, which and now we have an administration which would actually work with that. I know before, like VDare and some places have been like, well, we got webcams set up if anybody wants to watch them. But the thing is, you know, with the Obama administration, they just release them anyway. But now we've got this awesome thing where it's kind of like the, it's almost like a video game, right? It's like a Steam account game where you can log in and deport illegals. And it actually, the game works now. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that does sound like a lot of fun.
tell me, I know we don't have as much time as I want to here, basically summarize what Varg said and what your response was last week.
Oh man, there was just an awful lot. I mean, Varg is a guy who really likes to be divisive, not just on religion, but on nationalism, on every possible. He's just a counter signaling Fruit Loop. And, you know, what this video that I was responding to was, why pagans and Christians, can't work together in nationalism, why we'll never get along. And he goes on this big whiny tirade about how the Christians, plundered and pillaged the innocent pagan villages, raped the women, murdered the children. And then he goes on to talk about how Christianity is weak and incapable of defending Europe, but also that Christianity is not a European religion. It was just the most tired arguments, one after another after another. And as a pagan who is not of the Slavic persuasion or of the Norse persuasion or any of the most, I guess you would say popular sort of things with the Thor's hammer, I had to just make it very clear that I not only am not that kind of pagan, but you can't use the term pagan to describe all of us because you don't speak for all of us. And your understanding of Christianity is that of like a pissed off emo kid.
Well, that's, I like a lot of Varg's videos. I like a lot of his ideas. I'm kind of a crunchy minimalist myself. I'm not quite as black-pilled or contrarian as him. But yeah, he does do this thing. You know, obviously he burned down that old church. He's got this thing about Christianity, but at the end of the day, it's more about the counter signal for him than it is about finding pragmatic ways to fight for our people. And I think you're seeing so much among the Christian nationalist community and among the pagan nationalist community. You're seeing people actually working together. People seeing how we need to collaborate as we've done in the past against a common threat. And you know, with Varg, he's still got his hobby horse. And, you know, ultimately the movement's just going to have to leave him behind if he doesn't understand the necessity of unity with these different factions within the white race.
Yeah, there was a comment on the video that pretty much summarized it that said, Varg is not an activist. He is a cult leader. And that's
exactly
that. Yeah. That's pretty much what it is, because Varg doesn't respond to anybody's videos, he doesn't respond to anyone's critical comments. But, I think if he was ever confronted with the question that I posed to him about, most of the nationalist leaders in Europe, during the period of World War II, were, if not Christian themselves, which the majority of them were very supportive of Christianity and had a very, very strong animosity towards anyone who was anti-Christian. Now, I would like for him, as a nationalist, not a counter-signaling cult leader, to answer for that. Like, solve for X. Why were they all supportive of Christianity? Why were they all vehemently against positions like the ones he's speaking towards? And does he know better? He posed a question one time, what makes you think that you know better than our forebearers. Well, the question that I would love to pose for Varg is, what makes you think that you know better than all of the greatest nationalist leaders from the era of World War II?
Well, this is an open invitation to Varg to come on our show in the near future and tell us, and we'll be polite hosts, tell us why you know better. I doubt he'll take the bait, but let's throw the bait out there and see what happens with it. You know, I certainly wouldn't want to not give him a chance to respond either here or on his own platform. What makes you think you know better? I guess we're out of time here. I could talk another several hours with you, Jason, but I guess we have to wrap it up. So, thank you everybody for listening, and hail victory.
Be tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.